Let's invite our Lord to be our guest. The loving and gracious Father in heaven above, we truly invite thee to be our guest, to be in our midst, to be our guide, guide our thoughts and our hearts, dear Father, and our words, that we would speak those things that are needful for all of us, and that thy name would be glorified. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this afternoon hour, with the help of God, let us find and read from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I wish to read the entire chapter. Ljubazan Bogu na hvalu i na slavu, a nama za nauku i utjehu, želim da se nađe da se čita iz prve knjige Mojsijeve, glava treća. Prva knjiga Mojsijeva, treća glava. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not touch, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Last Wednesday, we heard of the suffering of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, how he was betrayed by his own friend, and he was crucified. He died for our sins. And this morning, we heard that, even in the prayer, that the grave could not even keep him. He resurrected for our salvation so we can live, so that we would not die, but live forever. And this chapter that we read this afternoon hour speaks about the reason that Jesus came to suffer for us and to die for us. As Brother mentioned this morning hour, this was the first error, first sin, first mistake. God created everything that we see and even the things that we cannot see, all the animals, the birds, and us, humans. And we could not stay in that state, in the perfect state. God created men and women in his likeness, and it was good. It was perfect. Whatever God did, it was good. And yet here in this chapter, we see that it wasn't long after they were created that they sinned. Now, we know that Satan was thrown down from heaven. He has no more room in the heaven above. And he decided to deceive everyone that he can. And he started from the very beginning. It says that the devil went to the serpent. The serpent was more subtle, crafty, than any other beast that God created. And he came to the woman first. Perhaps she was alone, and maybe even close to that tree, where it's easier to be tempted when you're by yourself. There's nobody to tell you, to stop you, to remind you. So he comes up with the question. Instead of telling her right away to take of the fruit, he asks her, is it true that God is telling you that you should not eat from any of the trees in this garden? Is it really true? He's putting a little doubt in her mind. So he comes up with the question, did God really say that you should not eat from this tree or touch it, lest you die? So the woman knew, Eve knew the commandment, just like Adam did. They only had the one commandment, do not touch of that tree, do not eat of it. They did not have many commandments, just that one. You can eat from every tree. I am sure that the fruit of all the trees were very good tasting. They had all that they needed. They did not have to work for it. They did not have to buy any of it. It was all free and good. Just one tree, one little commandment. Do not touch. Do not eat. I don't think it was hard. But that's when Satan comes in and he wants them to touch from that tree, the one we're not supposed to. What does he do to us today? Does he offer us anything that we can stay away from? Does he offer me a drink if I don't have a problem drinking? He might, but he might not. Usually he will come to me where I'm the weakest. He knows where we're the weakest, and that's where he comes and offers us things that we know that we might fail. But we need to trust in God and be reminded of the commandments that he has given unto us. So as he is asking the woman, Did God really say? And she said, we can eat from every tree except this one. We should not touch it or take it. And as it says here, the woman said, lest ye die. That means she knew the consequences. If they would take from the partake of the tree, that they would die and not live forever. Man was created to live forever. That's how God created men and women, to live forever, to praise him, to please him, and to enjoy the fullness of this earth, to enjoy the paradise that they lived in. And with this one commandment, they just couldn't hold that one commandment. And then, as she mentioned that they're not allowed to touch or eat from that fruit, here comes the liar now. The serpent said, you shall not surely die. You will not die. That's not true. He said, for God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open and you will be like gods. Now he's building her up. Your eyes can be open and you will be just like gods. So he puts a little pride in the woman at this time. Why did they need to be his gods? They had everything. There was no suffering, no pain, no agony. They didn't have to work, sweat, bearing children, nothing. They lived a perfect, beautiful, easy life. Your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the woman looks at the tree. As I said earlier, she must have been close to the tree to once again look at it. And to see that the fruit was, it says, the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. It looked perfect, something that God created. When we see things that we should not touch or see or do, in our mind, in our eyes, it's beautiful. It's something that we want, that we desire. That's how Satan comes to us, offers us the things that we most likely want. Pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise. Why would she want to be wise? For who? To do what? We know nowadays a lot of people want to be wise and smart, so they will do good in life. So she took it. It didn't take much persuasion from the devil to persuade her to take. She took it, and then, I'm not sure where Adam was earlier, or he came there later, but she gave it to him. Now, it does not say that he questioned her why she would take it. He knew the commandment, just like Eve did. The one commandment, not to take it. And it just said that she gave it to him, and he ate it too. Now, one thing that did happen, that Satan said that their eyes will be open, and their eyes were open. But not to be wise, not to be as gods. Their eyes were open to see the shame that they have done, the sin that they have done. We all know, even in our life, when we do something that we shouldn't, that's when we realize it afterwards. That's when Satan walks away and leaves us for the time being. First, he runs after us until he talks us into doing something that we shouldn't. Persistent, constantly. And then when we give in, then he takes off for a while. He goes to work on someone else. That's when our eyes are open and then we see what we have done. So we need to be very, very careful. When we get tempted, and we do get tempted every single day, especially those of us that are in the household of God. Satan wants to completely destroy us. That's his motive. That's his plan, to deceive us, to destroy us, to completely kill us, spiritually speaking. When we know what he is thinking, how crafty he is, that we need to be more sober and watch and be in constant prayer, that God would deliver us from all evil, and not to lead us into temptation, and deliver us from evil. If we pray to him, and if we are in constant prayer, and if we are watching every single day, and we are protecting ourselves with God's help, we have the full armor of God, then Satan cannot do anything. But we need to trust in God. So the eyes of both of them were opened. Now they realize what they have done, but it's too late. A little bit too late. They disobeyed the one simple, very simple commandment. Now, we don't hear anything else from the serpent. He tricked them. Did he say anything? He's gone. He did what he wanted to do, and he left. So now, they were a little bit ashamed. They said they realized that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and then they hear the voice of God, which they heard before too. They had this special relationship. They were communicating, and all of a sudden, they're hiding from God. So when God calls, he says in the cool of the day, at evening, he calls them and he says, "Where are you?" Because he's hiding in the trees. He says, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." Why was he afraid? Why are we afraid when we do something good? We should not be afraid, but when we do something evil, then we should be afraid. He says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now he's ashamed. And they said, "Who told you that you were naked? If you would not have taken of that fruit that I told you not to touch, lest you die." Now here's the next verse, verse 12. Very common in humans. He says, "I commanded thee that thou should not eat of it." And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest me." When men make mistakes or do something wrong, whether at home, at work, at school, and we get caught, the boss or teacher or whoever, or parents when we were younger, tell us that we did something wrong, and we know we did it. What's the first thing we do? We try to find excuse or reason why we did it, or we try to blame someone. Yes, but someone else talked me into it. Someone else tripped me, so I fell. Someone else did this. It's always easier when we blame someone else instead of ourselves. Very rarely do men come out and say, "Yes, I did make a mistake. It's all me." It's always, "Yes, but someone else." And now, not only that he's blaming the woman, and he says, "The woman whom you gave to me." Now he's blaming God too. "You gave me the woman to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat, so it's not my fault. She tricked me." Now you notice how God goes down to the woman. Maybe Adam thought, "Well, he's free now. It's the woman's fault. It's not my fault. Here God is talking to the woman. Now I'm completely off the hook." So God says to woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" Now the woman, same thing. "Oh, the serpent beguiled me." It's not me. Not my fault. Serpent tricked me. It's the serpent's fault. And I did eat. Again, God goes to the serpent. She probably thought the same thing. "I am off the hook. I'm free. It's not my fault. I did eat, but it's not my fault." So when he goes to the serpent, there was no question. God knew who the devil is. So right away, God pronounces the sentence against the serpent. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I do not know what the serpent looked like before it was cursed, but most likely did not look like the snakes look today. This is curse that's put upon the serpent. And then he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And this is speaking the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ. And indeed, when we do see a snake, what do? We kill it right away. We step on it, on the head. But when it does bite us, it bites us on the heel. It's the first thing that he can't reach or get to. Now, the consequences, for every sin that anyone does, there will be consequences. Nobody ever will go free. Maybe not in this world, but in the world to come. Everyone will receive judgment for the things that we have done, whether it be good or evil. Nobody can escape. A lot of times people do commit crimes. They run away, they go to a different country, and the authorities never find them. And they might think, well, we are free. They will not ever catch us or find us. They might not in this world, but it will catch up to them. At the judgment day, they will receive their sentence. It is better if someone does something to give up, to give in, and to pay the price, pay the consequence, then to receive it at the judgment day, at the last day. So now he goes back to the woman. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow and in pain thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So that's the punishment that she received. Not just her, whole generation after her. And then he goes back to Adam, who really thought he was free. He says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. We can relate to that. Nothing comes easy in this life. And that's all because of them too that disobeyed God. And throughout the whole Old Testament, New Testament, and even today, the biggest problem is always disobedience. We read the chapters of Moses where he led the people out of the bondage. The biggest problem was disobedience. They're always disobeying God, disobeying Moses. Hardened their hearts. Stubbornness. Stiff-necked. Always being disobedient to God. And even today, dearly beloved, our commandments that we have from God, they're not hard. They're not grievous. But why is it so hard sometimes? Because Satan is telling us that it is very hard to obey God, that we are just too weak. We just can't do it. And sometimes we give in. But hope and pray that we would be steadfast in faith, that we would be strong, and that we would always, always be able to say, get thee behind me, Satan. And you know, we have more power than Satan does if we trust in God. Satan cannot do anything to us. Anything, unless we allow him to. He could not do anything. He was not able to do anything to Adam and Eve if they were firm and said, no, we're not allowed to touch it or eat of it. But no, they looked at it, and it says that it was very good and pleasant to the eyes. It looked good. There's a lot of things in this world that look good, but but not everything is expedient. Not everything is good for us. So as he is pronouncing the sentence to them, telling them what they will go through all the days of their life, it says that in thy sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And that is true. We were created from dust, and when we die, we become dust again. We go back. Now, Adam and Eve, because they sinned, God took him out of the Garden of Eden. We know about the Tree of Life. And the Tree of Life is mentioned in this chapter here, and then again, it's picked up in Revelation. Now, if they would take from the Tree of Life, they would be able to live again forever. But can you imagine sinning, having this shame upon themselves, and living with it forever? So God drove them out of the place, and he put up, it says that east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, the flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of tree life, so that they would not be able to go back and take of the Tree of Life. But because of God's grace, because of his mercy, because of his love, he opened the way to us, all of us, back to the Tree of Life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we read about him this morning, and pretty much every Sunday we speak about our Savior. He is the way to the Tree of Life. God did not just leave us and say, well, you sinned, you are done for. But because of his mercy and compassion and pity, he sent many prophets to turn people away from the evil ways and thoughts, and they never did. And then finally, shortly again after all this happened, he wanted to destroy the whole world because everyone was doing only things that were evil. Even their thoughts and imagination was constantly evil. But Noah found grace in God. Because of Noah, he saved this world. Otherwise, it would have been completely gone. For the one man that was righteous, God decided to save this world. And because of one man that came down on this earth to die for us, we can be saved. We can find the way to the Tree of Life. We can be redeemed. We can go back to the Garden of Eden. We can have life again. But there's only one way. Just like there was just that one commandment, there's only one way, and the way is only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. A lot of times people think, well, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be baptized. I just have to believe in my own way. Well, God is merciful. You know, when people die, regardless how they lived, you always hear that they're going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven when they die. And I hope and pray that everybody would go to heaven when they die. But that's not the case, sadly to say. We must live faithful life, Christian life. We must be obedient. And not just say, well, God will forgive us. God is merciful. God is so good and gracious. He will forgive us no matter what we do. Someone told me once, God is in business of forgiving. He's not in the business of forgiving. He forgives those who sincerely ask him. But many people think, doesn't matter what I do, God is merciful. Oh, I've been baptized once, so I'm saved. We have to work in God's vineyard. We have to be faithful. We have to really watch and be sober and watch how we walk and be obedient. Very, very important to be obedient to God's commandments. And if we don't know God's commandments, flip a few pages in the book of life and we'll find them. They're not very hard. They're not hard to find. They're not hard to understand. And if we don't understand, we kneel down to our God and he'll give us the wisdom. He'll make us wise. Not taken from the fruit to be wise, but we need to ask God to give us the wisdom to understand what his will is and what we need to do to be saved. So, Jesus has died for our sins. He has opened the way to salvation. Now, it's up to us. Those of us that have been baptized, it's up to us still to stay on this road that leads to everlasting happiness. And those of you that did not make right with God yet, you can wait until tomorrow. But do you know, do I know, that tomorrow you will be here? We do not know. Nobody knows except God. If you want to take that chance and wait until tomorrow, go ahead. God might not even call you tomorrow. It's not up to us to say, well, I will answer when I'm ready. When God calls, that's the time to answer. Because he might not call again. And if he does not call you again, are you going to call God and ask him to give you understanding and to accept you? He might not do it. As the word of God says, today, if you hear, don't harden your heart. Answer. When God knocks on the heart, the door of your heart, answer it. Let him in. Seek him. Seek ye his righteousness in the kingdom of heaven. And all the other things will be added unto you. The most important thing is to seek him, that you will be able to find him. And may God bless the few words that I was able to speak. And may he watch over us, protect us, and give us the humbleness that we need and protection that we need every single day in our spiritual life, that we would be able to walk in faith that was only once given to the saints. And may God bless his word. Amen.
Where Adam sinned, Adam died, and there had to be a way back to the Father. And that way was provided through Jesus Christ. He came here upon this earth, took upon himself flesh and blood, lived a sinless life, died there upon the cross, shedding his blood. With that blood that was shed, our sins have been washed away. He rose then from the tomb and gave us the hope of eternal life. And someday he will return again. This is the gospel story. And we have this beautiful opportunity to come to this way of life. That God, he as love divine, would love us so much that he would do this for us in sending of his only begotten Son. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know how he comes to us. And we know with the intensity that he comes at us with. And yet, we know that if we are as our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, that we will look beyond and we will know that there is an eternity there. And this brief moment that Satan is coming to me with this great temptation, that I can overcome that because, number one, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And number two, the stakes are high. And this brief moment of pleasure, well, Satan will just simply laugh at us afterwards. So we know that. And yet we look to eternity. The Bible says that we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Likewise for us, we have a joy that is set before us. A joy that goes on for eternity and forever. It never goes away. It never stops. We have a joy that's there for us. And because of that, we endure the cross. We endure the temptations that come our way. And we say, no, thank you. I have something better. And we tell Satan, get behind me. And we look to that which is eternal. When we look to that which is eternal, the intensity and the power of the temptation that Satan has custom tailored to us will simply diminish in value. It'll mean less and less. It won't mean much to us when that temptation comes to our way, when we think of the joy that is set before us. And so may God give us strength. May God give us power that in these times that we live in and throughout our days, that as Satan would come to us with his temptation, that we would not be ignorant of his devices, that we would think upon eternity, and that we would tell Satan to get behind us. Amen.